The secret to well-being is discovering the power that is your birthright. The power to create a happier, healthier life drawn from our own vast internal resources. Join Jules and her guests as they gently guide you to shift your perspective from the familiar negative to the divinely connected, a place that will not only positively impact your world, but possibly shift the planet. It's all right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California. Even though it's a little rainy, it's still beautiful, and I love it. Thanks for joining me, because tonight it's all about the Law of Attraction, quantum physics, the ether, parallel universes, other dimensions, and what that means for rapid manifestation. Tonight, my very special guest is Dr. David Che, who wrote the incredible book, Total Law of Attraction, which is now in its second printing by Simon & Schuster Publishers. I've had David Che on before, and the listeners just love him because of all the scientific information that he gives us. And I thought that now would be the perfect time to bring him back, because I really, really feel it's critical, especially right now in our history, that every person on the planet begins to understand the power within them to create a joyful, abundant, prosperous, and peaceful world, no matter what's going on and what you're seeing on the exterior. It's not up to our governments. It's not up to our religions. It's not even up to our parents or our bosses or our jobs. It's up to each one individually to tap into our creative power. And this book, Total Law of Attraction, is the way for people to finally understand the science behind this incredible universal law. I'm going to mention that this information in the book is so important, so interesting, so fascinating, that if ever you thought of giving a book to someone for the holidays, this would be the book that will not only inspire someone, but will give them the tools to completely change their life. We've got a lot to talk about tonight, so let's jump right in. Welcome back, David Che, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Thanks for having me back. It's really great to be here again.
I am so excited to hear that your book was such a huge hit that it's now in its second printing and was picked up through Simon & Schuster, a major publishing company. That's a huge manifestation of your desires, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, The Secret was a great book, and it's just, I guess you can say, a dream come true to be, you know, being published now by the same publisher that made The Secret, essentially.
Well, you know, what's really neat is that you are definitely walking your talk, because look what you manifested. This is incredible, and it just shows you that the material in this book works. It works. So, David, you've been an astute student of quantum physics, which completely expands what we originally understood in The Secret, or really the original version of the Law of Attraction. But I want to talk to you about the expanded version of the Law of Attraction, which is almost always overlooked. Are you game to do this?
Yes. I mean, I think we got, you know, a good chunk of time today to talk about all different sorts of things besides just Law of Attraction. I mean, get into a little bit of quantum physics, some parallel universes, and, you know, other topics of the sort.
Exactly, because it's still under the realm of the Law of Attraction. So let's start. You have a few chapters in your book that deal with the ether in space, the unlimited manifestation energy. The ether is the blackness in between the planets, right?
Well, not even just that. I mean, to get a fundamental understanding of how the Law of Attraction actually works, because most people, I think, have a basic idea of what it's all about, but if you really want to get to the core aspect of what the Law of Attraction is all about, you have to first understand that there is this invisible, you could say, web of energy in space. And it's not just in space. I mean, it fills all of space, not just between the planets and the stars, but between you and me, between, you know, every object that we have in this Earth. Everything that we think is empty space is filled with this invisible energy. And depending on who you talk to, there's different names for it. Some people have called it the ether. I think Michio Kaku, who is a real prominent quantum theoretical physicist, The quantum hologram. Greg Braden, who is big with Hay House, he calls it the divine matrix. We have a whole book on the subject. But regardless of what you call it, there is now science able to determine and find out that there is this invisible, you know, wave of energy that surrounds all of us. Kind of like the Force in Star Wars, you know, where Yoda says to Luke, the Force is all around us. It's between you and me. We can utilize energy. So by the same analogy, this ether, this divine is between all of us, that we can use our conscious minds to tap into this, you know, unlimited source of energy to improve our lives.
Wow. You know, it kind of reminds me of Star Trek and their hologram deck, in which they could go back and recreate a life in that moment that was fantasy, but they made it real.
Yes, and now we're finding out. I mean, it's not just science fiction. I mean, in Star Trek at the time when it was made, it seemed like, you know, it was all science fiction. But as quantum physics and science progresses, we're finding out that our own reality is kind of like a hologram. You know, we call it a quantum hologram. It's like a hologram in which we have the ability to manipulate and change our reality based on what we, you know, choose to manifest.
So how do we do that then? I mean, is it... Does this have to do with parallel universes, or it's just we're talking about the energy around us, around everything, in which we project our desires onto this energy?
Yes, there's different ways of looking at it. One way is you can say that this web of energy that surrounds all of us in all empty space, when we think of something, we have a thought, an emotion, feeling. Much like when you throw a stone into a still lake, you know, when you throw a stone in there, it causes ripples in there and it starts to move. When we have a single thought of something, that also causes a ripple, although it's invisible to us. It causes a ripple in this web of energy that this web of energy is almost like a mirror in a sense, or reflection. So when you throw that stone into the water, it ripples. When we put a thought of something into this web of energy, it also creates ripples. And as it creates ripples, it causes, you know, kind of a miniature chain reaction effect, which eventually reverberates and bounces back to us.
And therefore, it bounces back to us in manifestation energy?
Yes, exactly. And there's even theories now, and again, not to get too deep into the quantum and theoretical aspects of it, but there's, you know, large body of evidence growing that what we're seeing in our reality, what you and I see in our reality, is actually, I guess you can say, quote, a projection of a deeper realm. Because inside this quantum hologram, what we see is only our physical realm. There's deeper dimensions, I guess you can say, inside this quantum hologram, this web of energy. And so, you know, science is saying now that what we see in our reality is merely a projection of something from a deeper part of this reality, the deeper dimension of this reality. So it's like saying if you see, you know, your reflection in the mirror, you know, if someone looks at you from the side and sees that reflection in the mirror, they see you in the mirror, but that's just a reflection. The source of it is actually you. So you can almost say that our reality that we see now is like a mirror for something that's much happening at a much deeper level.
Wow. That's really interesting. So we're living in our third dimensional world right now, but if we look at it like it's simply a mirror reflection of our true inner selves, we can access the fourth, fifth, and maybe even sixth dimensions?
Yes, exactly. Although we can't, I mean, we're actually in the fourth dimension, even though it's three-dimensional, it seems like. Einstein proved that we actually have a fourth dimension, which is space and time, in which space and time are not two separate things, but actually two things together. And actually, it's this warping of space-time that causes our gravity. So I think that the force that holds us to the ground, it's actually this warping of space-time, this fourth dimension, which is keeping us to the ground, this force. And so there are higher dimensions, I think, that things are happening at. And using the law of attraction specifically is to tap into those higher dimensions to where what things that are happening in those deeper dimensions are reflecting back to us in our fourth dimension.
Wow. This is brilliant. I love this. This is just new to me. I didn't realize that actually the fourth and fifth are the fourth is creating the gravity in which keeps us stuck to this planet. That's really interesting. So how do we use the fourth, fifth, sixth? How do we use it to manifest stuff?
Well, when you're using the four steps that I teach in the book, because I believe there's, you know, all, after studying all the different books in the Law of Attraction out there, you can basically narrow down manifesting anything you want into four basic steps. And when you're using these four basic steps, you don't really need to think about, you know, what dimension it's going to, because you just assume that this whole process is working the way it should be. And I think, you know, most books have concentrated on just, you know, the practical aspects, but not too many books have, you know, really kind of explained what was going on behind the scenes. And so now, with, you know, with my book and with my discussions with you, it's able to kind of bring together the science and the actual practical aspects and bring them into one cohesive unit so people get a better understanding of what's going on.
Yeah, that's why I love your book, because it has so much scientific data in there. So it has stuff to back it up. But let's go into parallel universes, because I find this so fascinating, but to me it's so confusing.
Yes, and this is one of the, I guess, newest, you know, I guess, upcoming things in terms of how the Law of Attraction is working now. Science is finding out, okay, and again, there's different books you can read, you know, anybody who's more interested can go in more detail, but for our practical purposes, there's a growing body of scientific evidence that what we thought, what you know, currently is our universe, which meant everything that there is actually only one of many, many, maybe millions, maybe unlimited number of universes. And it seems almost impossible to fathom or to even conceptualize, because our universe is so big. But the way to think about it is, which I've been told, is think about a big loaf of bread. When you have a big loaf of bread, you're able to slice the loaf of bread into many pieces. And so one of those pieces could be our universe. And all the other slices, when you can think of a million unlimited number of slices, those could be other universes. So, you know, what they're finding out now is that all these different universes even are actually existing. So, for example, you know, Jules, you might be a radio announcer, but in another universe, you might be a nurse, you might be a congresswoman. I mean, you can be an unlimited number of things in these multiple universes. And each one of these multiple universes has one of us doing something different. And so, the problem is that there's no way to really travel to these universes or to, you know, see them based on our point and reference in reality. But we do know that they exist, you know, and there's, you know, scientific proof that it does, mathematical proof, I guess you can say. And so, yes, and so the thing is, though, the scientists that are publishing these parallel universes, they don't really want to get into a practical application, if there is one. I'm trying to bridge that gap into where you can tap into the multiple universe.
Well, if I'm a congresswoman in another universe, can I bring that into my reality here?
Well, according to the scientists, I mean, what they'll tell you is, yes, parallel universes exist, but you can't see them. And, you know, they just kind of leave it at that. They kind of just, it's a neutral kind of statement. Yeah, it exists, but you can't really see it. You can't access it. They're there. I like to think of it as, well, how do we make use of this kind of knowledge, you know, on a practical level? And the scientists may disagree with me on this part, but this is my own interpretation of it, and which I've discovered to be true. And that's, there's, I guess, in quantum physics, there's a principle called non-locality, which means you could be separated. Let's say, for example, you'll see stories of two twins, okay? They're identical twins. One person can be on this side of the world, another twin can be on the other side of this world. And I saw this, you know, this special and unsolved mysteries where, you know, one twin was sitting in the office doing desk work, and the other one was at the gym working out. And when he was working out, I guess he accidentally twisted himself the wrong way with a pair of weights, and it was hurting him. But at the exact same moment when he was feeling this pain in his abdomen, his twin, who was in the office, all for some unexplained reason to him, felt that he was having that kind of pain. So, you know, you hear about these kind of stories, and actually when you understand quantum physics, it's not so mysterious. Those twins came from the same, you can say, essentially the same kind of cell. So they're connected. And distance, they could be separated by, you know, 100 miles, 1,000 miles, or a million miles. When it comes to this kind of, we call it non-locality principle, there is no distance that can separate. I mean, distance doesn't make any difference because, you know, in this web of energy, we're all connected, you know, to say. So, you know, I like to say that these parallel universes, even though they may seem, you know, hundreds of millions of miles apparently, that so far that we can't reach them. You know, like Jewel, that's a congresswoman that's, you know, light years away. Of course, you can't reach out and touch it. It's way too far away. But if you want to look at it from a pull of non-locality, yes, the distance may seem far away for you and me. But when using our minds to visualize and to, you know, use our subconscious minds to access it, their distance doesn't really make a difference anymore. So depending on, you know, there's a million different unlimited parallel realities, universes for you and me and everybody else on, you know, on this planet. We can access it using our mind, which is essentially using the law of attraction. And distance isn't really a factor, even though it seems so far away.
Wow. You know, this brings up a memory for me that I was sitting in a doctor's office once, and my sister lived 3,000 miles away in Hawaii, but a woman walked into the doctor's office who looked identical to my sister. I was shocked. I was just like blown away. She just looked exactly like my sister. And I'm going, how is this possible? To the point where it really shook me up, but I knew my sister was far, far away. I'm wondering if I was just sitting there and I tapped into something.
Most likely. I mean, a lot of these things happen in everyday life. It's just, you know, for most of us who don't have, you know, me before, we don't have, this knowledge of how this all works, so this non-locality principle. It may seem just mysterious. And a lot of these things seem just strange and unusual. But as science progresses forward, in quantum physics especially, we're able to understand that these things aren't so mysterious once you understand the scientific principles behind how this all works.
Yes, that's a good point, because we're still learning. We're still expanding. And what we know today and what you and I are talking about today is going to completely evolve to another level, say, in about a year.
Yes, and it keeps moving forward. I mean, it was only, I think, last year, July 4th, which is Independence Day for all of us, that they finally confirmed the existence of what's known as the God particle. And so without too deep into that, I mean, it's about a particle that's able to prove that it exists and that it's responsible, basically, in a way, for creating this matrix, this web of energy that we live in. So science is progressing still to this day and, you know, proving more and more what we suspected all along.
Wow. This is so fascinating. So the parallel universe I can access through my conscious mind by just thinking of me being a congresswoman.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Or anything, virtually any other reality you wish to experience. I mean, it comes from, think of it this way. When you and I mean, if you're driving down the expressway, you're going on a single path on a highway, you know, whatever expressway you're going toward. And as you're going towards the expressway, think of it, you coming to like a toll, paying a toll. There's like 6, 7, 8 different lanes that you can go into based on your lane. You can merge into, and you just choose one of them. And so the law of attraction is basically the same way. What you're doing is when, scientifically, is because of all these different realities, these parallel universes that are, you know, in our reality, in this web of energy, we're, you and I, or any other person on this earth right now, we're traveling along a single point in time. And so as we're traveling along, we can choose, based on our decisions, we can choose which one of these parallel universes, or we can say alternate realities, we want to experience. And so, you know, if you're right now, you're a radio announcer, and you all of a sudden you decided you want to be, like we said, a congresswoman, you can decide to choose that. And once you start to visualize, emotionalize, feel it, and have the belief that you are doing it, over time, your actions and your world will conform to what, you know, your new reality is, and that's how you enter that alternate reality or parallel universe.
Wow. So will that cause me to be a congresswoman here if I'm...
Well, yes.
Will it come into my existing reality?
Well, yes, but the thing is, remember, you have to, as I'll go into later, you have to follow the 4 steps of...
Right.
Manifestation. And if one of the 4 aren't in alignment with each other, because all 4 have to be in a cohesive unit, all 4 have to be aligned in the same phase together. If one of them is not aligned with each other, what you want to try to manifest still won't manifest.
Great. Okay, so let's start talking about the 4 steps. And I know that there's a lot of things here that really have never really been talked about, so
yes.
I want to go into detail. So let's start with the first step.
Okay, well, the four steps listed first, I mean, in sequential order are, first step is thought. You have to have the thought of something you want to manifest. Two, you have to have the emotion, the feeling, the strong emotion of what you're trying to manifest. Three, you have to believe that what you're thinking and feeling is possible, which for a lot of people, trust me, isn't that easy. Mm-hmm. And the fourth and final step, which most people seem to overlook, especially after reading a lot of different books on the subject, is taking massive action.
Yeah,
so we can go into these four steps in, you know, greater detail. And like you said, the first step is thoughts, the thought of something. Now, again, a lot of people think, oh, this is easy. I can think about what I want. No. What's the complicated part of all this is, what's so not obvious about it is, when you ask in a seminar, okay, you are all here to learn about the law of attraction. So can you tell me what exactly you're trying to manifest? And people will usually say, well, I want more money. Well, I want to be happier. Well, they're not specific, because your subconscious mind, which does all the manifesting, it likes specifics. You can't just say, well, I want to be happier, or I want to have more money, I want to be wealthier, and things of the sort. You really have to get specific, and a lot of people just can't get that down. Or when you ask them during a seminar, you know, what are you trying to manifest, they'll say, well, I don't want to be poor. I don't want to be, you know, stuck in a bad situation. Everything is kind of expressed in a negative tone of voice. And so for a lot of people, just even getting past the first step is not even that easy when you start talking to them. And so that's why, you know, I really want to get to our listeners here that as much as you've been taught that the law of attraction is something that just seems so simple that, you know, you can just start manifesting everything you want, in reality, you know, I'll be straight out with you, it's not that simple. There's a lot of work involved, a lot of decision making to make this all, you know, to bring all the four steps together to make it work. It takes a lot of work sometimes. So it's not, it's definitely a repeatable and true process, but it's not as simple as everybody makes it out to be.
So let's talk about the thought, because I run into a lot of clients, hypnosis clients, when I say, what do you want for the future? They couldn't tell me. They have no idea. It's like they are so stuck in the present that they have not a clue what they want their future to be like.
Yes, for a lot of people, like I'm saying, they can't even get past the first step. I mean, to really successfully use the law of attraction, the first step is to clearly decide what it is you want. And like I said, if it's a new job you want, what kind of job is it? Is it a desk job? Is it something where you're traveling a lot? Is it something, you know, I mean, any kind of way? I mean, what kind of profession do you want to be doing it? These are the kind of things you really need to nail down first before you go anywhere else. Because if you can't even decide what it is you want in a detailed manner, there's no point in going on anymore. The whole process will be just, you know, irrelevant. You really, really have to know exactly what it is you want. Sit down and really think hard. What is it you want to manifest? And when you do that, that's when you proceed to step two, is you have to add that emotion, that feeling of what it would feel like if what you're thinking about is a reality right now. And again, that's not easy to do too, because a lot of people can't seem to create it, especially in the beginning. They don't know what it would feel like because they never experienced it before. So clearly decide what it is you want first. Very clear to decide what you want. Be brutally honest with yourself. And two, you have to add that emotion, because that emotion is what speaks to this ether, this web of energy. You know, people are like, well, how do I communicate with this ether? How do I take advantage of, you know, manifesting what I want? Well, it speaks the language of emotion. Even though you can't talk to it directly, you know, using your words, it feels you. It mirrors the way you feel. So when you're thinking and feeling something, that you cause that ripple to happen in the web of energy, and eventually it will reverberate back to you.
So are you saying the intensity of the emotion? To me, when I get excited about a new project or a new venture, that's when it really starts taking off. It's like, oh, yeah, this is going to be so much fun. I love this. I'm just so excited about it. The intensity, does that help?
The intensity not only helps, it makes all the difference. It is the ingredient to make it work. If you don't have a strong emotional connection to what you're trying to think, nothing is going to happen either. The universe starts to work towards you when you have a clear vision coupled with a very strong emotion. That's when the universe starts to feel the effects from you and starts to mirror and mold itself towards you.
So if you're doing something that you don't really want, but you're thinking it's going to get you to have that extra income or whatever, it's going to be harder to manifest unless you're doing something that you really love to do.
That's exactly right. That's why you hold our old saying, I forgot who said it, said, you know, pick a job you love, you never have to work a day in your life.
Right. Okay. Got it. All right. Now, when you're getting that emotion, what's the next step?
Well, the next step is after you have this thought, you have the emotion, the next step is belief in that thought and emotion to be true. And again, this may sound so simple, but it's not so simple, because for some people trying to, you know, they're in a difficult predicament right now, and, you know, they're thinking of something they want to manifest, an alternate reality, lifestyle, and they have this feeling with it too. But once, after they have this thought and feeling, this little voice in their head pops up and says, you know, don't fool yourself. There's no way this can happen. This whole process is too simple. It'll never work. And all these elements of doubt start creeping in. So belief in something, it sounds easy, but in reality, it's actually very, very difficult. And so a lot of people can't get past this step either. And remember what I said before, and I'll say it again. These four steps that I'm talking about here all have to be in alignment, because if one of them is in alignment with the other four, this whole process will be doomed from the start.
Mm, I believe that to be true. So you're believing as if you have already received.
Yes, even though you haven't seen any physical evidence of it. See, that's the hard part. We're all taught in, you know, our school system and, you know, our everyday life that before we believe something, we have to see it first. But in the law of attraction, it's completely reversed, and it's more difficult. For the law of attraction, for this whole process to work for you, you have to keep believing it, that it's true already, way before you've even seen any physical evidence of it. And that's the really hard part for most people. Yes. Let's give the physical, the scientific evidence behind this, because, you know, we probably have some listeners here saying, well, I've heard this before. I mean, sure, you have to believe, but is there any real science behind it? Well, since we kind of covered parallel universes before, let's bring the subject in there now. Why is it that you really have to believe in order for this to work for you, and why it makes all the difference in the world? Well, when you think about something and you have this feeling about something, you're starting to access this alternate universe or parallel universe, alternate reality for yourself. Okay, so once you have this thought and feeling, you're drifting towards it. But in order for you to actually access this alternate universe to change your life, you have to believe. Belief is the force, the binding force, what you would call it, that merges that alternate parallel universe with your present reality. And it may seem a million miles away, light years away, but it's not. It seems like it's so far away, but it's actually pretty close to you too at the same time. It's like a paradox. It might seem so far, but it's not that far. And so your feelings, your thoughts, and your beliefs will merge any one you choose, any alternate universe or parallel universe that you choose with your present reality. And once those two are merged together, that's when all those little, what we call coincidences or synchronicities start to happen, in which it will bring you towards a desire. So belief isn't just wishful thinking. It's not something that we just, you know, preach upon people to have faith on. There is a scientific basis as to why the belief works and why it makes all the difference in the world.
That's really good. You have in your book that detachment is important. And that's also confusing, because is that the fourth step, detachment?
Actually, no. The four steps are thought, emotion, belief, and taking massive action. Now, what you can do is draw a big circle around all the four steps and kind of put an arrow towards the word detachment. Because all the four steps is law of attraction, but detachment is its own separate entity, its own separate law. So to think about it this way is, when you're following the four steps that I'm talking about, that's using the law of attraction. But at the same time, you have to understand the law of detachment, which is a separate but equal entity to the law of attraction. And so I explain to people sometimes to think of it this way. When you go to lift weights in the gym, you have to do two actions, right? You have to lift and then pull back, right? There's a contraction phase in a relaxation phase, you can't just lift the weight and then not lift it back down, right? There's always two motions to any exercise. And so the law of attraction is the same way. When you're using the law of attraction, that's like a contraction phase in exercise. When you using the law of detachment, that's like a relaxation phase of exercise. Because everything in this world comes in twos, you know, the lightness, the darkness. There's a zero and a one. You know, there's a male and female. That's we call it the yin and the yang. There's a duality principle. And just as there's a law of attraction, there is a law of detachment. You know, there's contraction and there's relaxation. So most people, I would say 99% of people all know about law of attraction, but less than 1% of people actually have an awareness or knowledge of the law of detachment or barely know about it at all. So, and the law of detachment is kind of hard to understand. So that's why in my book, I spent a lot of time explaining it. And even then, some people still might get it. So I can probably talk all day about detachment and people still have questions about it.
Because it seems like when you believe, and the belief is that you've got to feel as if you're already in, where do you know the stopping point of, or do you always continue to feel as if you already have it, but is that the detachment, knowing that you already have it?
Well, yes. To put it really simply, to keep it as simple as possible, here's a few ways to think about it. Once you've believed and felt that, you know, what you're trying to manifest is already reality, then you have to just kind of put it out of your mind and just let it go and do something else. You know, I call it periods of thinking and periods of forgetting. That's what it comes down to in the simplest terms. So there are times when you're thinking about and feeling what you want and believing in it, and then there are times when you have to just let it go completely out of your mind and forget about it. That's a nice way to think about detaching. You know, detaching also can be explained as whatever it is you're trying to manifest, you have to be detached from the outcome. So a lot of times you might be trying to manifest, let's say, a new job or something, you know, something that you really want to bring up into your life. But then there are a lot of things along the way that happen that don't seem like they're conducive to what you're trying to manifest. And so if you didn't understand the law of detachment, you might just give up on it and say, see, this whole thing doesn't work, when not realizing the big picture that whatever the universe is trying to bring you, there may be steps of failure, what we call failure, along the way before you get what you want. So as long as you're constantly letting go, detached from the whole process, the outcome of the whole process, you're not going to steer away from your path of trying to manifest what it is you want. You're just staying on track and just keep going what you're doing, and eventually you're going to get what you want.
Okay, so then your fourth step is massive action. So again, you're just looking at steps to get you there, but not looking at the possible outcome?
Yes, I mean, taking action, I mean, like I said, there's going to be times when it seems like you're failing at what you're doing, and you have the tendency to say, well, see, this whole law of attraction thing isn't working, or the universe isn't bringing what I want. Like, so for example, let's say you're going to a new job interview, and you know, you're like, wow, this law of attraction thing is working. I'm visualizing this new job, and they already called me for the interview. Well, you went to 3 interviews in a row, different jobs, this office job that you wanted, and each one of them, they rejected you. So you're thinking to yourself, well, the law of attraction isn't working. I tried it, it didn't work. And I hear that a lot too. Well, if you don't understand the law of detachment, you may seem like it's not working. But maybe you have to get 3 rejections from these jobs before you land that good one. And this whole three failures was a learning experience for you to get to that fourth one.
A training period.
Yes, or a training and learning period before you can get to where you want to go. So you see athletes, it happens like this, you know, the athletes trying to dream of a championship, and then they might get the championship round 3-4 times and get knocked out, and before that, you know, fourth or fifth time, they finally win it. So that's all about part about being detached. If you're not detached, you just give up on the whole process and say, yeah, this whole process doesn't work, forget about it, you know, I'm not a believer in it.
And you don't want to get to that point where you want to give up on it. You just don't want to think about it. It's just, it's okay if it doesn't happen. But if it happens, that's great too. So you're talking more lines around trust?
Yes, and trust. And, you know, as I talk in the book, what we decide to manifest is using our conscious mind. But the actual manifesting part of our mind is through our subconscious mind. And so our subconscious mind does all the, you can say, manifesting part. So, you know, there's an acronym for the word trust. Trust means that when you're trying to manifest what you want, no matter what happens, even though it seems like it's not going to happen, you always trust your subconscious mind. So the word trust can be an acronym for to rely unto the subconscious totally.
Wow. Okay, I get it. So you just pulled together four steps that you have to do in the order in order to bring about manifestation. And the law of attachment is separate, but very much points to it.
Yeah, law of detachment.
Detachment, I'm sorry. That's the point. Okay. It's wonderful. I love it. I love it. It's very clear and understandable. Now, in Chapter 12, you talk about being aware of the negative possibilities actually prevents things from happening, negative things from happening. I love this. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. In the beginning, it seems confusing, but it's actually really simple. When you say, you know, if you want to minimize the negative things from happening to you, you need to be aware of it. And so people get confused. They're like, wait, hold on. You're telling me that in order for me to minimize negative things or prevent negative things from happening, I need to think about it or be aware of it? I'm like, yes. And they're like, no, I was never taught that. I was always taught you should always think positive and think positive all the time. Well, the problem with that is I think a lot of these people that are teaching positive thinking, some of them really don't know all, you know, what the whole idea is about. Because what happens is when you teach someone to constantly think positive, when one little negative thing happens, they go to them and say, see, it was your fault. You weren't thinking positive. So something negative happened to you. And that's not true. The truth and the reality is just as we live in a dual universe, I told you, like, there's a duality principle. There's the male, the female, the lightness and the darkness, the good and the bad. There's going to be good things that happen to you, but at the same time, there's always going to be bad things that happen to you no matter how positive you think all day. You can think positive all the time, but you can't stop negative things from happening to you. That's going to happen because someone out there is going to be thinking negative, and their negativity might crisscross with yours. So there's always that possibility. And so the way to minimize it is to be aware of negative things. Being aware is not the same thing as dwelling in it. Being aware of it is like, for example, the example I use is you're coming to an intersection on a busy New York street. Well, when you come to the intersection, if you were just thinking positive all day, like some of these I've seen some people teach out there, if you only think positive and not think negative, you would just walk across the street in the middle of rush hour traffic, and more than likely or not, you're going to get hit by a car, no matter how positive you think. Being aware of the negative is simple. All it is the concept of you're coming to the intersection, you stop, you look left, you look right, and if not, there's not many cars there, no car coming towards your way, you can cross the street. So being aware of something negative is like that. You're not dwelling on it. You're not in fear of it. You're not constantly putting your mind being paranoid of it. You're just being aware of it. And being aware of it is you're just thinking about it for a split second. You're not really, really really deep thought on this negative thing. So that's the whole thing. You need to go through life as feeling and thinking positive, but at the same time, still being aware of any negative possibilities that can happen to you at the same time without dwelling on it and making it into paranoia, I call it.
Okay, so say somebody wants to start a business and we're hearing all kinds of things about the economy. And you're saying that, well, wait a minute, don't have a blind eye to that. Just learn about it so that you know how to direct your business. Is that right?
Yes, and there's two aspects of business. One is, yes, you're going into business and starting a new business. And like any business in life, there's a lot of risk to it. And being aware of the negative, first example is if you're not being aware of the negative, just thinking positive all the time, which I think is incorrect. You're just going to go to business full blast without looking at the risks, and boom, you can get in trouble really quickly. Whereas if you're going to business and using the law of attraction and being aware of the negative, yes, you're happy you're starting this business, you're optimistic about this business, but at the same time, you have to be aware of the different risks involved so you don't get yourself into trouble. And so, you know, while we're on the subject of that too, let me bring something else up. And that's, you know, for any listener out there that's thinking of becoming a business owner or an entrepreneur, you know, this is not law of attraction based. This is more of a sound business principle. And that's before you go into any kind of business, you really have to do your homework and survey. And this isn't hard either. Wherever location you're trying to open your business in, or the kind of business, the kind of product you're trying to sell, the kind of service you're trying to provide, before you invest money to start this new business, you really need to do some homework, basic homework, and find out if there's even a market, the people that are wanting your services. Now, that may seem like such an obvious thing, but it's not. You'd be absolutely surprised how many people you'll see just go into business and, you know, invest a lot of money, assuming, you know, without doing homework, that with the product they're trying to offer or the service they're trying to provide is actually in demand, when in reality it isn't. And then when no customers come looking for their service or asking for their service or buying their product, they get surprised and say, well, I thought if I made this product or service or offer the service that people would just come to my doorstep. And that's not the way it works. You have to, before you start a business and invest all this money into it, just do some research. And, you know, and you, like, if it's a restaurant in your area, you have to see that the people in your area are going to be, you know, wanting the kind of food you're providing. Or, like I said, if you're opening a business and you're a service, providing a service in your area, is there a market? Are there people that are wanting your kind of business in your market? And sometimes it's not necessarily whether the product is good or bad, but maybe the location isn't right for what you're trying to do it in too. So all these kind of things you really need to research and look into before you spend a lot of time and money into this.
And I would also point out that doing the research, if it continues to get you excited and hopeful and just feeling so good, oh yeah, this is happening, but I could do this to make it succeed, just knowing that excitement is actually helping you to expand that into that energy wave field.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I agree.
So if you don't feel excited about the research and what you're coming up with, that's a great sign that perhaps that's not the direction that you need to be going.
Yes, and that's why the four steps of the law of attraction, when we come back to it again, is one is thought, two is emotion. And emotion is so important because not only is emotion the language that talks to the divine matrix or the ether, we call it, emotion is also the force that drives you to take action or not. So without strong emotion, there could be no strong action. It's only strong emotion that leads to strong action, which is step four. So all these four things need to be in alignment again, as we get back to it again.
Wow. I love it. I love it. What about, this happens so much with people who are new into discovering the law of attraction from those other books. The first thing out of their minds, well, I am going to win the lottery.
Okay.
Now, why? It may happen, but chances are it won't. Why is that?
Okay. This is a very common question. Like, I give seminars on law of attraction, and at the end, people raise their hand and goes, well, what do I do to win the lottery? What am I going to do? Lottery that, lottery this. Okay, I get this question asked all the time. And you'd be shocked how many experts evade the question. They dodge it. They don't talk about it. This is kind of really discussed. But there is an explanation of why it's very difficult to win the lottery with the law of attraction. And I'm giving a big secret away here to our listeners. So, you know, this is something I don't even really discuss in my book, but for our listeners today, you really get this explanation of why this occurs. Okay, now, what's a good way to start off with this? Think about this. Let's say, you know, I say, Jules, okay, you know, I'm teaching you the law of attraction. Whatever it is you're trying to manifest, go ahead and manifest. Let's say you want a new Mercedes or, you know, a new house or something, okay? You want to manifest it. Well, only you know what car you want, because I don't know what kind of car you like. Only you know about it, right? So in your mind, you're the only person that's aware of that aspect of reality. So Jules with Mercedes, if you don't say it to anybody, who else is going to know about it? No one's going to know about it, right?
Right.
Because we all have a conscious mind and we all can tap into this ether, right? Okay. So is it pretty fair to say that if you're thinking of something and you're putting a ripple into the ether and I'm thinking of something, I'm also putting a ripple into the ether, right? So we're all able to put ripples into this ether, every one of us, right? Okay. Now, if you're thinking about something, let's say the Mercedes, and I know you tell me, you know, David, I'm thinking, you know, about that Mercedes. Now I know about it. But my thought of what you want can affect your aspect of reality. You following me? If I know the same thing that you're trying to manifest, I'm able to manipulate it, or I'm able to at least affect it in some way. But if I don't know that you're thinking about it, I really can't affect it. You see? So let's say you tell a group of 10 people that you want that new Mercedes. Well, then all 10 of us know about what you're trying. Now it's not secret anymore. Now all of us know what you're trying to manifest now. So we all have even the unconscious ability to maybe possibly alter what you're trying to think about, right? Now that's not a secret anymore.
You mean you can influence me on how to think?
Well, not influence, not you directly, but because you're putting a ripple into the ether. For this. But if I know you're trying to do that, just the act of me thinking about it, I may put a negative ripple into it. Because let's say, even though my intention is good, I might think, you know, Jules can't get that Mercedes. It's too much, or it's out of her range or something. If I know about that, then I can unconsciously affect that aspect of your reality because I know about it now. Okay, so this is all leading to something big, okay? Now, when you're playing the lottery, how many people are playing the lottery any given drawing?
Millions.
Millions, right? So everybody is putting that aspect of reality into the ripple, into the ether. So it essentially almost cancels each other out when you're trying to do that.
Wow.
So think of it this way. I tell people, now imagine, you know, 50 people standing around a basketball hoop, each with a basketball, okay? And when I blow the whistle, everybody shoots their ball toward the basket at the same time. Who do you think? Whose ball do you think goes in out of the 50 people if we all shoot at the same time? Maybe no one, right? Because everybody's ball is knocking each other out of the way. And for the chance of one ball to actually make it, it's pretty small. 50 balls are going in at one time. So
wow.
when someone is trying to use the law of attraction to manifest a lottery, there's so many millions of people playing at any given moment that everybody's intentions into the ether or this web of energy is essentially canceling each other out. So it's a neutral kind of manifestation. So what is the point I'm getting at with all this, you know, besides the lottery? And that is, anytime you're trying to manifest something, you have the best chance of success when you're the only one that knows about it. No one else knows about it. So always keep your intentions, or you're trying to manifest, a secret. And this goes back to the Bible. When you remember this part of the Bible where Jesus says, when you go to pray, go to the door, close your room, and pray in secret, that's exactly what he means. Because magic or law of attraction, manifestation, works the best when only one person knows about it. The less people know about something, the stronger the power it has. When more people think about any secret. If you have a magic trick and everybody knows the secret to that, how powerful is it anymore?
Yeah.
It's only powerful when only one, the magician, knows about it and no one else knows how it's done. That's where the mystique comes in. That's where the power comes in. And the same thing can be applied with the law of attraction. If you're just trying to manifest something like this Mercedes or new house or something, don't tell anybody about it, at least in the beginning, because you telling someone else about it gives this power away. And sometimes you might tell the wrong person who might have a good intention but maybe has doubts that you can actually achieve it, and their awareness of it, their thought of it, hits the ether and can actually unintentionally cause your desire or what you're trying to manifest, cause it to go astray.
Mm. Wow. I love that. So go a step further and talk about collective consciousness then.
Well, this kind of leads into collective consciousness because we all have the ability to manifest what we want, you know, using our minds and using our this power of this divine ether. And so if there's a large group of people that want to make change in the world, we join our collective consciousness together in the same exact thing. You know, 100,000 people thinking one thing and trying to manifest it is going to be greater than one person doing it. So, you know, to create big change in the world, we need to join our consciousness together to merge them all together, to combine the power and to make change. And so that's why, you know, at a time when my book's coming out and other books are coming out about how to teach how this all works, it's actually adding or contributing to this force of collective consciousness. Because when more people are aware of how to, you know, tap into their inner power and to tap into the power of the ether, then this makes the whole world a better place. And so collective consciousness is a big deal. It's not so good when you're trying to win the lottery, but collective consciousness, but it's good and makes the world a better place, though.
Yeah, so collective consciousness is not focusing on the individual desires, but on the desire of the collective good.
Yeah, so let's say you have, you know, and we just use the extreme example. Let's say you have a government that's really corrupt. And when people want change, they band together. And, you know, sometimes they overthrow a government or do something of the sort to create a better change, to create a better world, a government for the, you know, for their people.
We can do that using the four steps as well if we do it in bunches.
Yeah, we do it in unison, and we do it in bunches, and we do it as a collective group.
Mm-hmm. That's really powerful. And that's why I love this book, because it's so filled up with the scientific data. It's so filled up with information that totally empowers a person to literally transform their life. It's simple, it's clear, it's understandable, and it leads you and inspires anyone who reads it to change their life. Now, going beyond that, when one person changes their life, the ripple out effect goes to another. And pretty soon, the collective consciousness is filled and empowered to create a brilliant, wonderful, abundant future for all. This is what it's about. So you can go and buy 2, 3, 4, 5 books of Total Law of Attraction and give them out to friends who need to understand their power of creation. This book will not only help them, but help change the world as well. And that's why I just love this. And you can get this book at Barnes & Noble or all the fine bookstores everywhere. Just look for Total Law of Attraction. Or you could go to Amazon and get it there. Or you can go to David Che's web address at www.totallawofattraction.com. David, we've got a few more minutes, and I want to ask you, what did we not cover that you want to talk about?
Well, I think we covered all the most, I think the most powerful and basic, you know, practical aspects of the whole thing. I want to tell listeners that, you know, my book, I think my book is unique in the fact that I've examined a lot of the science behind it, and the science books always leave out the actual law of attraction parts. And a lot of law of attraction books out there, they kind of just give you the steps, but don't really give you the logic or the science behind it. And so I spent all these years, many years of my life, trying to bring these two together into one cohesive book that kind of just, you know, gives you everything you need to know without a lot of extra details. And so you won't have to really spend 20 years like I did to figure all this stuff out. You know, if, you know, in my book, I kind of lay out all the steps that you really need to know to make the law of attraction work for you. And another thing I want to just bring to our listeners is this, and that's, I spent a lot of time talking about detachment and why it's so important. Here's something else too. A lot of times you read a lot of these different books, you're taught the three steps that they tell you. They say ask, believe, and receive.
Right.
Okay. And before I interviewed today, I was thinking about how I was going to modify this, because I think some of it, this isn't entirely correct. And the reason being is this: if I just teach you to ask, believe, and receive, and you don't understand detachment, it's very easy to get lost in that process, because a lot of people will tell me, you know, I ask, I believe, but I didn't receive. Well, the problem is you weren't understanding detachment. It should actually be ask, believe, and detach.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much receive, because, you know, another step of detachment is, you know, I went into detachment pretty detailed, but here's something else, the way to think about it, and that's, to attract something into your life, to manifest something into your life, yes, you have to want it, but at the same time, you have to not care about it. And so that's why so many people get confused. They say, well, how can I want something at the same time not care about it? Because wouldn't I have to care about it to want it? And that's why detachment is so hard. Detachment is the key to making manifestation, the law of attraction, work. But it seems in the beginning, it seems like an unnatural process for the average person. You have to want it. You have to create a dual state of mind in your head, and that's you have to want something but not care about it. Mm. And so a good analogy is saying, let's say you're playing a board game with your friend. You know, the board game is nothing. You're not betting on anything. There's no money involved. It's just for fun. So whether you win or lose, I mean, you obviously want to beat your friend. It's fun. It's a game. So you want to beat him. But at the end of the day, after you lose, it's not a big deal to you. It's just for fun. So it's like a board game. You're playing this board game because you want to win. But if you don't win, you don't really care in the end anyway. It's not a big deal to you. So you need to take that same kind of attitude, that way you feel about this board game, toward the law of attraction. See, too many people only learn about the law of attraction, but they don't understand the law of detachment. So they're taught to ask, believe, and receive. So they think that they should receive, and they get attached to it. That's a big, big fatal process. So, you know, ask, believe, but don't care about it. And so that means to detach. And then what's so ironic about it is when I'm telling you to detach, to not care about it, that's when you can actually get it. So ask, believe, and detach. And in time, if you're detaching the right way, you should receive. But to just teach people to ask, believe, receive is too what I call commercialized information. It's really feel good and motivational. But the truth of the matter is, you need and the way the world really works is you have to ask, believe, and detach in order to eventually receive.
That's great. That's great advice. And we can say you're living proof of it because of what you did with this book and bringing it into second print and then signing with Simon & Schuster. This is a major publishing company. Very few people get to experience this, and you did it.
Yep, just following the four steps. You know, I don't do any different than any other, the four steps that I teach. So. And so people know too, it wasn't an easy road too. There was a lot of obstacles and difficulties along the way. But again, as long as you're detaching from the outcome and staying with the whole process, eventually you will see your manifestation come into reality.
Ah, that's beautiful. Well, David, thank you so much for telling us all of this. Again, I want to urge everyone to go out and get this book. Give it to people for Christmas. You're going to help them, and you're going to help the world. So thank you so much, David Chay.
Thanks a lot for having me. It's a pleasure to speak on your show.
Thank you, and I hope you'll write a book on parallel universes, too.
Yeah, we'll see how this one goes first, then then we'll move on to the next one.
Okay, you got it. Thank you so much. And to all my wonderful listeners out there, have a great week. We'll be back with another great show on Law of Attraction Talk Radio next week. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another great show from Law of Attraction Talk Radio. If you'd like to comment on tonight's show, send an email to Jules@LOARadionetwork.com and have a great week.